Well, friends, today we have the opportunity to wrap up a sermon series that I've been personally blessed by in preparing and also sharing with you. And I've heard so many stories from people and have witnessed so many stories of God's miracles happening in our midst. Just this past week, and I think he's going to share his testimony at Lake Isabella coming up this Sunday, which you don't want to miss, by the way, whether you're being baptized or not. Come on out and have a picnic with us and just share life with the family. But one of the gentlemen and his family that are going to be baptized on Sunday shared a miracle story of deliverance from Satan's influence in his life. And I think he's going to share that from the water this coming Sunday. We've experienced miracles of financial provision in our church. We've experienced miracles of God's protection. We've been talking about miracles of God's healing, and we continue to see those miracles happening. Our God is active and alive and well in our life. He's on the move, and as a result, as a church, we're going somewhere, and if we're going to be doing the big things that God has called us to do, it's going to take a miracle. It'll take a miracle. It'll take God's divine intervention from heaven here on earth, and that's where we've been. And so today, we're wrapping it up with the idea of talking about miracles of provision. Miracles of provision. And I hope for you, as it has been for me, these are sermons that are not only meant to kind of challenge us and poke us a little bit in the power of the Holy Spirit, but there is a great deal of a word of encouragement that God wants to give to us to grow and to build our faith in a faithful God, in a faithful God. So when we're talking about the miracle of provision, let's just confess that for all of us, we have experienced in our life where financially things feel tight at times. Now, we all know circumstances and situations in our own life and maybe in other people's lives. And maybe you're that single parent with three children and you just feel like there is more month than money. You ever feel like there's more month than money where the bills seem bigger than the provision? Come on, God, we need help. Or maybe you have a strong income and you're still struggling to make ends meet. Expenses just are so high, they feel like it. You got student loans to pay off, medical debt, car payment, all the kids' extracurricular activities, and you just feel like you're constantly treading water, and you love to be able to catch up sometime, but you feel like at any moment you might just go under when it comes to your financial stability. Many of us have fear about what we don't have. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter your level of income. It doesn't matter your level of financial income. Everybody feels a pinch at some point in time. Everybody feels like this deficit thinking. Everybody feels like there may just not be enough, and times might feel financially tight. Well, the Bible is full of stories, true life stories. This is a living history book of people that were afraid that they didn't have enough. People that were afraid that they didn't have enough. And what we're going to talk about today is the reality that in every story of need that you'll see in Scripture, and I believe that's still alive and well today, in every story of need, there is a miracle of God's provision. In every story of need, there is a miracle of God's provision. How about several thousand people on the side of a hill that are experiencing the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they're hungry and they need to be fed? And in that moment, you have only a few small fish and a few crumbs of bread. Those disciples felt like there was not enough, and they went to Jesus, and Jesus blesses this lunch from this boy of a few small loaves and a few small fish, and he provides for everybody. And not only does he provide for everybody there, and granted, you know, we say the feeding of the 5,000, we all know that that was only the headcount of the men. That didn't include the women and the children. So we're talking maybe, what, 15, 20,000 people there that day. And so in order for God to show off, not only does he provide a miracle provision, he gives them some leftovers to be reminded in a few weeks that, oh, God is still great. And he gives them 12 baskets full of fish and bread to just last so that what? Our faith in God can last, that the story can continue to be told. In that moment, there was a miracle of God's provision in a time where life felt like it was in debt, where life felt like it was in debt. How about in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 4, and you see the prophet Elisha speaking into the widow, a widow of a former priest or a former teacher, former scholar, former prophet, who has now passed, and this widow has been left with so much debt that she's afraid that her children, they're going to come for her children and take her children from her and turn them into slaves to pay off this debt. So this widow is in fear of her financial future. She is concerned that there is not going to be enough. And so Elisha turns the tables on her and says, well, what do you have? If you remember the story, what do you have? And she said, well, not much. I just have some olive oil. Not much. I just have this little bit of oil. And what he does is he asks her, would you pour that oil out into containers? And what you'll see in that story is that the oil continues to flow as long as there is an empty container. And so in the middle of feeling like there wasn't enough, God shows up with a miracle and says, I'm going to provide for all of your needs. As long as it kept pouring, it kept multiplying. And you see God's miraculous provision. From a very little, he multiplies it into a great amount. How about for the Israelites when they're walking through the desert and they're just not, you know, they're wondering where they're going to get the food from. There are no food trucks 2,000 years ago. There's no food trucks to meet you in the desert to sell you a tuna fish taco or steak nachos or a burger or whatever it might be, okay? And I just love food trucks because they have such an eclectic mix of opportunities. But they did not appear 2,000 years ago. But what did happen is he decided to drop some quail from heaven, give them meat to eat. When they got tired of, oh, by the way, the manna that he was supplying that was falling from heaven, that was there every morning for them to collect as much as they had need. And so in that moment where it seemed like there was very little, God was providing a miracle of much. And it just seemed to multiply. As a matter of fact, it multiplied so much that they had so much meat, it was just coming out of their nostrils. I mean, it was just everywhere. There was quail everywhere. I mean, in the way that they describe in the measurements, it was 2 or 3 feet deep in some places in those days. A miracle of God's provision. How about a guy who was headed in the wrong direction and God provided a giant fish to rescue him and to make sure that he found to be exactly where he needed to be. And we all are reminded of the story of Jonah. How about in Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me this morning. The Bible says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let's just be honest here. God has access to every resource that we could ever possibly fathom, and then beyond that, and then some. I mean, the riches of heaven, I mean, the riches that are even unspeakable. I mean, we try to have them depicted in movies and television shows when somebody finds El Dorado's gold or whatever it might be. It's just far beyond a sunken treasure found in the bottom of the sea. I mean, it's more riches than we could ever possibly fathom, not just monetarily, not just physically, but the joy and the hope and the blessings and all of that that comes from heaven, but also God's ability to provide for our every need, no matter what the circumstance is that we might find ourselves in. And therefore, your God not only has all of the resources that we need, our God is a giver of all good things, the Bible says. He has the resources of heaven at his fingertips. And he says, every good and perfect gift comes from who? Comes from God. And it's amazing how much of a great provider he is. That's one of the ways that I like to picture my God and my relationship with him, is he is the great provider. God promises to meet all of your needs in this scripture. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, God promises to meet all of your needs. And the key word there is needs. And that's where we struggle. And that's where we get messed up and tripped up. He doesn't promise to provide our wants. And oftentimes, when God does not do what we expect him to do, and we don't get what we want, we kind of get confused. Kind of like we've been talking about in this sermon series, the miracle of healing. We know God can, but when he doesn't, it struggles. It's hard for us. And so in this miracle of provision for us, we have this set of expectations, and it confuses us because we bounce between needs and wants. And when we don't get what we want, when we think we should need it or want it, we say, where are you, God? And what we're struggling with there is a difference possibly between needs and wants. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts about this. We all need clothes, amen? Praise be to God, we all need to be clothed when we come to church, all right? Wherever we go, we need clothes. But what we really want is Adidas Ultra Boosts, okay? Right? We all need a handbag, or we all need clothes, but what we really want is the Louis Vuitton bag, right? There are differences between needs and wants. We all need rest. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. We all need rest. But what we really want is 14 days at an all-inclusive resort. Come on, am I talking to some of the right people here today? All right? There are differences between needs and wants, okay? We all need shelter. We do. We all need shelter. And our church is going to partner with anybody in our area that we can, First Church Homeless Shelter and other ministry opportunities to do all we can to provide shelter for everyone, including our homeless population. And it's a huge need. We all know that we need shelter, protection from the sun, from the rain, from the elements, from the cold, and to just have a place to be able to lay our head. But what we really want is a farmhouse designed by Chip and Joanna Gaines with the butcher block counter and the farmhouse sink and the 17 bedrooms, all in that farmhouse motif. And so what we do is we confuse wants and needs when God promises the miraculous provision, I will provide for all of your needs. Let me talk to you today about three principles of God's miraculous provision for our needs. And the first one is this, if you're taking notes. When God guides, He always provides. When God guides, He always provides. In other words, when you allow God to lead you and guide you, He will always provide for you. When you live guided by God, He always figures out how to make a way for us in His time for our needs. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11, the Bible says that the Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your what? He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. You ever walk to the bank and you need to take out some money or put a check in, and they ask you whether or not you want to see the balance in your checking account along with that? In other words, they don't always provide the balance because it takes a few more minutes to come up with the balance. It's not that they don't want to give it to you. It's just saying it's a step that you can skip. You ever felt like saying, you know what? No, I don't want to see the balance in my checking account. I just want to put this check in, or I want to take some money out, but please don't tell me what the balance is in my checkbook right now. You ever have a day where you feel like your checkbook is a sun-scorched land? You ever feel like when you sit down to balance your debt or work on your bills that your income or your source of income or what you have in the bank feels like a sun-scorched land? He will satisfy your needs. Why? Because He will always guide you if you let Him. When life feels barren, the God of the universe will provide your needs. Now, He's not promising to provide for your dreams. He says He's going to provide for your needs. He's not talking about providing for our ambitions personally, but He promises that He will take care of every one of our needs, that His will be done in our life. And so when we walk in sync with His lead, when we walk in sync with His will and His purpose, His provision will always be there. That's His promise. Now, for some of us, we're like, you know, hey, God, where were you? You know, God, where were you with that financial need I had? God, where were you with that provision? You know, God, the mortgage is due at the same time my two car payments are due. I got a vacation I booked that I'm not sure how I'm going to pay for. We're still paying off Christmas. God, where are you? Where are you in providing for my financial needs? And when that's kind of where we are. Now, is it possible that many of us have been there, and I've been there in my own personal life, where God has miraculously provided for your needs, but we took His provision and we spent it on what we wanted, when we wanted it, and how we wanted it, whether we had the means to provide for what we wanted or not. And so rather than maybe turning to God, we turn to debt in those moments, or whatever that means might be for us. Is it possible that God's provision is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for poor financial decisions? And oftentimes, in the midst of our poor financial decisions, we're confused with where God is, and God is saying, well, where were you at? Where was I at? You know, did you come to me when you decided to purchase that? Did you come to me when you decided you could afford that when you really couldn't? And so God wants to give us clarity on what God promises and let those promises flow into our life. God promises to care for all of our needs. Now, we know Abraham and Sarah had a huge need and desire in their life. They travailed in prayer daily. God's promise to make them a family of all nations, Abraham a father of all nations. And they were desperate to have a son to be able to fulfill God's promise to do that. And it wasn't working. It wasn't happening. And they would pray, and they would pray, and they would believe, and they would believe, not just one day or 2 days, but through seasons of life, months and years. And so finally, they experienced the birth of Isaac, and they were given Isaac. And what did God do in that moment with Isaac and Abraham? God put Abraham to the test. He tested him with a call to him to sacrifice his son. And I want to have us turn to that in Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 14 here. First book of the Bible, we're going to go right to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 6, and we're going to go to verse 14, and we're going to kind of read through what happens next. So God is calling Abraham to sacrifice the one thing that they have been desperate for, that they've been praying for, and finally arrived in their life. You can imagine how important Isaac was to them. Now think about any one of us, how important our children are to us. But in this story, this was the means to the provision of God's promise for Abraham to be able to sow his seed and to be able to be the father of all nations. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" You see, Isaac and Abraham, they'd done this before. Isaac knew what was going on. He knew it was sacrifice time because, well, that's what we do on a regular basis is we offer sacrifices to God. And back then, they offered burnt offerings. And so Abraham answered, I love this verse, "God himself will provide. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Now, what kind of faith does that take? I mean, what kind of faith does that take? That God calls Abraham to make a sacrifice, and he walks through that opportunity and that call and that obedient moment to follow through with that sacrifice, and he looks at his son, who is, oh, by the way, the sacrifice, and speaks to him a promise that Abraham is trying to hold in his own heart to speak that to his son's heart, that in the end, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up, and there is a thicket. He saw a ram there in a thicket caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." He called the place, what did he call it? "The Lord will provide." Now, do you believe in your struggling circumstances that God is going to provide the lamb? Do you believe in your circumstances, that mountaintop experience that you're travailing right now, do you believe that you're going to someday name that mountain, "The Lord will provide"? Do you kind of have that kind of faith, that kind of belief in a God who will provide in all moments and in all means? Clearly, Abraham is fixed on the will of God and God's obedience. Clearly, Abraham is fixed on an utter trust that God is going to provide. He walks through the ceremony to the point where he has the knife raised over his son in that moment. And oftentimes, we are struggling in our life with whether we believe God is going to be faithful or not. And that's because we're not fixed on God's faithfulness, but we find ourselves fixated on what we lack. We find ourselves fixated on our problem. We find ourselves fixated on our debt. We find ourselves fixated on feeling like there's not enough rather than fixated on our faith in God. And that's one of the things that Abraham teaches us. And when we look through that lens of being fixated on what we lack, we live with the false idea that God is unfaithful, that God is uncaring, and that God is not able to provide and is not good enough to desire to provide for our every need, when he is always true to keeping his promises. And I've seen God's provision before. I've seen God's provision in people who are faithfully called to a mission trip or a mission journey, and God somehow comes up with the finances so that they can go on that trip. And I always tell people, listen, if you feel led to go to Guatemala, or you feel led to go to Sacred Brown, or you feel led to go to Vietnam, or to Haiti, or any number of places, or you feel led to go down the street, and you lack the financial resources to do that, God will not call you to do something and not provide the means for you to be able to do it. And I've seen it countless times, time and time again. God provides for those who faithfully step out in his call and provides for their needs. I've also seen the power of God's financial provision in a family in our church who faithfully bring their grandchildren every single Sunday, even though they don't have a vehicle big enough to be able to do that. And they faithfully go back and forth to the house until all of their grandchildren arrive. And then they start that all over again after worship is done. And they make several trips back and forth to get their grandchildren to where they need to be. And I've watched God faithfully in the midst of that provide a minivan for them, even though they couldn't afford it. Why? Because of another family in our church who was following the will of God and a call to live sacrificially and felt the Lord tug at them to give a huge gift away of this minivan. And they are not people of large financial means. And they get to watch the Lord provide through them. I have seen the miracles of God's financial provision for those who choose to be led by God and follow God. I see it in every conversation I have with people in this church that are generous givers. And listen, that's not an amount. That's a percentage. It's the widow's mite, right? It's, you know, if we have a dollar, well, then one penny, that's a lot. That's a lot. People that are generous givers in their hearts, and they smile when we talk about money, and they tell me stories about their giving, and they tell me stories that when they give, how blessed they are. And some of the most joy-filled and happy and blessed people, when someone tells me they're blessed, when I talk to them, I know that they're generous. I know they're experiencing God giving back to them greater than they've ever given before. It's so fun watching people be faithful to God's will and see His miraculous provision as they follow His will. People who are givers are just some of the most joy-filled people that have ever walked this earth. Why? Because they discover that they can never outgive God. And they're constantly experiencing God's miracle provision because they understand the second thing about God's miraculous provision. Number one, when God guides, He always provides. And number two, God miraculously multiplies what is given. God miraculously multiplies what is given. You see, by now some of you halfway through this sermon are saying, well, this is just another message on giving. And that's the problem, because it's not. It's a message on God's miraculous provision. But we're so hung up on our deficit, and we're so hung up on our money, and we're so hung up on our financial resources, we can't even think past it enough to be able to understand that God wants to drop a miracle in our lap. And God miraculously multiplies what is given. Now, He could do it on His own. He could drop bread from heaven like He did for the Israelites 2,000 years ago, but most of the time, He wants to build your faith and build my faith, and He wants us to be a part of the miracle. And He asks us to give what we have so He can multiply what we have and show Himself and glorify Himself to everybody around. So let's ask a couple of questions about the first couple stories we talked about today. When did God multiply the oil for the widow? When she pours it out. When she lets go of it and gives it to God. When were the loaves and fish multiplied to feed the masses? When the boy took what he had in his hands and his lunch, and he put his lunch in Jesus' hands. And what did Jesus do? We know that He blessed it and gave it to His Father God in heaven. When did Abraham become the father of many nations? When he offered God His only Son as a sacrifice. When were we saved? When God offered the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. You see, the adventure of a Jesus follower is that we are invited to be a part of the miracle of multiplication. Now, this is not prosperity gospel. This is not put a dollar in the plate so you can get $1,000 tomorrow. That's not what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is honoring a God who promises to provide for all of our needs and to do so through a sacrificial life. You see, in each of these cases, the miracle of provision necessitates a sacrifice. The miracle of provision necessitates a sacrifice. And most of us, we're walking around sometimes and saying, man, I wish I could get a miracle. Or I don't often experience miracles. Where are we living a sacrificial life? Because a miracle of provision often necessitates a sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, this generous God who supplies abundant need for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, He supplies every need plus more, and then He multiplies the seed that what? The seed that you sow. The seed that you sow. So, watch this. If God multiplied what we didn't sow, it wouldn't require any faith. And we look at the world and our family and our neighbors and say, well, look what I did. You know, look how I did this. Look how hard I worked. Look how hard I provided for myself. We will think that we did it. But God wants to grow your faith, and He wants you to give Him glory at the same time that He provides for your needs. So He multiplies what we sow. He multiplies the sacrifice. And that's exactly what the biblical tithe is. The biblical tithe is this opportunity to bring our sacrifice before God and to watch Him multiply it and then bless us in the end. And we can't experience God's miracle of provision if we're not offering a sacrifice at the front end of things. You see, there are a few things that will declare God is our great provider more than if we honor Him through the biblical tithe. I mean, there's nothing more that screams, I love God, than to let go of the thing that we hold on to the most. And the biblical tithe is simply giving the first 10% of whatever comes in and giving it to God through the local church. And many of us struggle with this concept. I've been there before. My wife and I, when we were first married, Aaron and I, we struggled with the concept of the biblical tithe. We shed tears over it. We got frustrated over it. We called one of our friends that was a staff member at the current church that we were going to and said, how can this be? And he lovingly explained it to us. You see, many of us fear that we don't have enough, and that's what we were feeling in that moment. We were pushing back because we felt like we didn't have enough, or we felt like we did this. This was our money. We had worked hard. And why would we want to let go of it? We can determine what we want to do with our own money. Oh, man. God hit us with that one. And what we discovered in our life is that his will determined for us that it was our next step of faith. If we were ever going to get further with our relationship with God, if we were ever going to grow in faith, if we were ever going to experience the miracles of God's provision, that our next step of faith was to let go and sacrifice and give to God. And you want to know what? Ever since then, we've never looked back. We've never looked back. 20-some years of marriage, we've never looked back on our tithing. You see, God wants to show off in your life, but you have to trust him first. God wants to show off in your life. He wants to show himself to you. But if you don't ever put yourself out there sacrificially, it's hard to experience God's miracle of provision, because we'll look at everything in our life and say, we did that, rather than looking at God saying, thank you for doing that. You see, since we began to tithe in our personal life, we've not missed it. And we've experienced miracle provision all along the way. And our family has been blessed as a result of it. We've been blessed with so much more than we could possibly fathom. And I continue to discover daily, and maybe you're tired of hearing this, but we cannot outgive God. We try. God, we're going to up things this month. We're going to show you something. God says, no, I'm going to show you something. And it's this game of just amazing sacrifices and God's provision. And I'm here to tell you, the Alice family is a miraculous family. You want to know why we're a miraculous family? Because we trust in God and God's miracle provision. We trust in a God who miraculously provides. And I want to ask you a question. Is your family a miraculous family, or are you a fear-filled family? Do you live daily to give sacrifices to God, or do you live daily with a fear that you don't have enough to be able to give? It's going to always be a brick wall that you're going to find yourself hitting up against in your relationship with God until you learn to finally trust him. So let's ask this question. Why does God ask Abraham for Isaac? I mean, a lot of us scratch our heads at that one. And what we see here is a God who had a great plan for Abraham. And he didn't want Abraham holding anything back from God. He didn't want anything to come between him and God. He didn't want him holding anything back. You see, God has a great plan for you. And he doesn't want you or me holding anything back. He wants our whole life, our entire life. And oh, by the way, that also includes our fiscal life. Does God need our 10%? Absolutely not. Does God need us to give? Absolutely not. But what he's trying to teach to us on a regular basis in Scripture is that we need to give it for spiritual growth and development and for our faith to grow and to be able to carry the weight of that special calling he has in our life. And so while he is not asking us to sacrifice our son or our daughter, let's be honest, many of us treat our finances like the firstborn child in our life. Many of us treat our finances like it's our firstborn, and we couldn't possibly ever think about parting with it. We couldn't possibly ever think about putting it on the altar. We couldn't possibly ever think about sacrificing it. But what we have discovered in God's word is that a miracle of provision necessitates a sacrifice. Everywhere God performs a miracle of provision, you see a sacrifice that kickstarts it. And when we let go of our finances, when we let go of our fiscal lives, when we let go of our, I dare say the word money, when we let go of our money, in faith to God, we get to watch and experience God's supernatural miracles of provision like God did for Abraham. You see, giving builds our faith. Giving builds our faith that while we're walking up the fiscal mountain of our lives, and while our lives feel like a sun-scorched land, and despite all that, we're going to continue to give, we're going to continue to trust, we're going to continue to climb the mountain, we're going to continue to walk towards that sacrifice, we're going to continue to believe. And what we believe in that moment is that giving builds our faith that on the other side of the mountain is a ram that is meeting us every step of the way until we get to the top. Now, you may not see that ram, but you know it's there because we serve a God who is a God of promises. And we're just going to live in faith as we are givers sacrificially to God that that miracle is making its way up the mountain. Maybe not on the first of the month, maybe not on the second of the month, but maybe the 14th of the month. I don't know. God does. And God is going to meet us right there at that moment of sacrificial need, at that moment where we need it the most. We are going to believe that, son, he will provide the ram. My God will provide the ram. And oh, by the way, after you get a chance to experience that miracle because you live sacrificially, you get to name the place that you're standing. The place of promise. The place of promise. Remember what Abraham named that mountain? He said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Something for all of us to think about. Here's third and finally, and we're done. God will use you to be a part of his miraculous provision. The third thought about sacrificial living and giving. God will use you to be a part of his miraculous provision. He will multiply what you have given for his kingdom purposes, and you will be the answer to people's prayers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul writes these words. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can spend wildly on yourself in any way you see fit. No. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can do what? So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so not only do you get a chance to experience God's supernatural miracle of provision in your own life, God is going to use you to be the means of a supernatural miracle of provision for somebody else. And their life is going to be changed as a result of your generosity and your sacrificial living. So it's not so that you can have more for yourself that God is going to provide for all of our needs. It's so that we can be a blessing and a conduit to be able to deliver God's miracle provision to other people. And as a result, people are going to thank God for you and your part in their miracle story. How cool is that? You know, there are times where we should all hope that we would be gossiped about. Man, that's so-and-so. What a blessing they were. And as a result of their blessing in my life, this is what happened. Man, they're just such a generous person. Or man, you know, they just live so sacrificially. And man, you know, they probably can't afford to do it, but look what they did. And boy, I just hear stories of God's miracle provision. You know, people talk about that kind of stuff. What a blessing. I mean, what an amazing person. Let's get gossiped about in that moment. And in that moment, they're lifting up praises to God, lifting up your name to God, not in constraint. Oh, Lord Jesus, what about them? No, there's like, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for using them to help deliver your miracle in my life. Think about it. You see, when you give, you're changing lives through our virtual campus. At any given Sunday, we have 25 to 30 people that are tuning in on our virtual campus. And because you give to that, we're able to provide that resource and service to people. When you take your money that you think you've worked hard for, that you've earned, that you deserve, that really God blessed us with, and you take that and you put that in the offering plate, you're changing lives. Your generosity has changed lives. I ran into a teen on Friday night at the football game, and he ran me down. I walked in, he ran me down, and he said, Pastor John, what time is end zone tonight? And I said, it's at 9:30. And I said, tell me your name again. And he shared his name with me. I recognized him. And I said, how many years have you been coming to end zone? He says, I'm a sophomore in high school, and I've been coming as a sixth grader. I love it. And you want to know what? He's probably never set foot in another church or in our church for any other thing than end zone. And you want to know how he can put end zone on? It's because you sacrificially give. You sacrificially give. And when you do that, you've changed a life. You've changed this man's, young man's life. And how many lives are changed? How many teens are we preventing from doing something dumb from 9:30 to midnight on a Friday night because we've opened the doors of the church and we're giving them a place to be able to live and to experience life, and if need be, to find ministry and to be ministered to in their hearts. You know, in November, we're going to go to the Seacrest Auditorium, and we're going to put on a marriage encounter like never before. And we're going to bring in Ted Lowe, one of the foremost experts on relationships and marriage in the nation, a nationally known speaker. And because of your giving, marriages will be changed and healed because of that event. Marriages will be changed and healed. Why? Because you gave to that, and you will be a part of a miracle story of provision, and you will be gossiped about because of it, and people will thank God because of your faithful giving. We're going to go to Lake Isabella next Sunday, and we're going to baptize some folks. And maybe you're ready to be baptized, you just haven't signed up for that yet. And we're going to put people under the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and they're going to experience the means of God's grace through that sacrament of holy baptism. And we're going to serve food, and we're going to have a fun family experience, a spiritual family experience. And because those lives are being changed, they're being changed as a result because you gave. You gave to that experience as a result of that. There's going to be a men's retreat at the end of the month, and we're going to be going to, where are we going? Camp Otterbein? We're going to Camp Otterbein at the end of the month, and men are going to go, and we're going to go on this retreat, and men are going to have conversations with men like never before, and there's going to be times we're going to probably barbecue and have some fun and hang out together and do that kind of thing, and in the midst of that, a guy's life is going to be turned around or changed. A marriage might be turned around or changed as a result of it. The direction of a man's life might be turned around as a result of that, and you want to know why? Because you gave to that. Because you gave to that. Because of your generosity. We got Seventh Day Slumber coming here at the middle of September, on September the 16th, and right before another important date on September 17th. I won't tell you what that is, but September 16th is coming, and Seventh Day Slumber is going to come, and there will be people that will set foot in this church that wouldn't normally come, But because 7-Day Slumber is here, because our youth ministry and family ministry team is putting that on, they will come and they will hear the gospel and people will give their lives to Jesus Christ. Why? Because you gave to that. Because you gave to that. So let's not just think that the church just wants our money. Let's not just think that God wants our money. God wants to change our lives. God wants to grow our faith, and at the same time, he wants to grow his kingdom. And I can't think of a better thing to be a part of than that. So maybe we can allow God to adjust our perspective, to be clear on our wants and needs, and to move beyond the fear of not having enough or that it's going to run out. And we're going to understand that by offering the sacrifice, we're going to take what we have and put it in God's hands and experience his miracle of amazing provision that will build our faith and bless his people. And bless his people. Friends, we get a chance to be a part of the miracle for God to provide in our lives. But we get a chance to be a part of the miracle for God to provide for others. Don't miss out on the miracle. A couple of action steps and we're done. Number one, take inventory of how God has provided for your needs. Take inventory of how God has provided for your needs. Because oftentimes we just take inventory of our deficit. We just take inventory of what we don't have. Let's just take a moment and thank God for all the blessings that we do have and take inventory of all along the way how God has provided for our needs. Number two, take your next step in sacrificial giving. Take your next step in sacrificial giving. And you can figure out where you are. Some of us haven't even bothered to do that. We've never even sat down with our spouse or our family and talked about the glorious gift and opportunity to worship God with sacrificial giving. Do that. Have an honest conversation and just honestly look at each other and say, well, this is where our giving level is. And let that rest with you and God. The Bible says the Lord will help you determine the level. The Lord will help you determine where you should be with that. Go to God with it and see what he has to say to you. And third and finally, be part of the miracle story. Continue to be part of the miracle story. And our staff and our leadership and our team and our servant leaders and those of you that are part of leading ministries in our church, we're going to do everything we can to position God's provision to this church with our time and our talents and our resources, and we're going to put it at the altar, and we're going to come up with incredible programming. We're going to come up with incredible ministry opportunities like some of the things that I've named so that we can bless the least, the last, and the lost, and to help people live this journey that we're on because we're going somewhere. We're going to come, connect, we're going to grow, and we're going to go. And I'm just so glad to be a part of that. So friends, as a church, let's experience more of God's miracles together. And maybe it's not that God isn't ready to provide miracles, and maybe it's not that God isn't already providing the miracles. Maybe we're just not paying attention. Maybe we're just not, you know, maybe we're just not asking. Maybe we're just not praying. Maybe we're just not bringing the sacrifice that God asks us to give so that he can deliver on the other side of that, something that we would not normally see or experience because we haven't put ourselves out there. Let's watch our God of miracles shake this place up. And let's watch God deliver us into our vision of the journey of coming, connecting, growing, and going. I'm so excited for this new season of ministry we're entering into in this fall, and I'm just so glad to do it with you. Come on, God. Come on, God. I want to invite